Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, April 14th, 2018, you are listening to the Saturday edition of the PW Torch Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. This week is going to be a look back. We're going to look at the Hall of Fame, snubs, bad jokes, bad speeches, way too long speeches, inappropriate dialogue, and, of course, Kid Rock. And I will not be doing this alone. I will be, of course, doing it with you. Make sure you give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. I will also be doing this with my partner in crime. You may have heard me earlier this week on the Moranalytics podcast, Patrick Moran. And let me bring him on without much ado. Patrick, welcome to the Deep Dive.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, buddy? How's it going?
Pretty good. I know your time is short, so I'm going to try to be economical with it. However, I do want folks to know about your show, how you got into the idea of doing your show, and what would be the show they would listen to get the best idea of Vintage Pat, if I can borrow the Michael Cole.
Well, I mean, if you want me to be completely and utterly honest with you, I got to a point, I was writing, I had a blog, and I just got to a point where I didn't want to write anymore. It took too much time. I said, you know what? I've always liked the idea of having a podcast. And, you know, I have a lot of good media contacts in the Buffalo, New York area. So I said, you know what? I just want to do it. So I dove in and started my own podcast a couple months ago and got some good guests booked ahead of time, including yourself, of course. And just went from there. It's something I really enjoy doing.
How's it been so far for you?
It's been really good. Like I said, I've been fortunate to have good guests on to, you know, help get that credibility going right off the bat. This is a wrestling show, so I don't want to talk too much about other sports, but my podcast is a sports and recreational podcast with a slant towards Buffalo sports, but not limited by any means to it. So, you know, I've been able to get most of the guys up there in Buffalo to do the podcast and get it off to a good start. Now, I don't live in Buffalo anymore. I'm down here in Florida. Which, by the way, I'm paying for that today because I am really sunburned, really bad. Fortunately, you can only hear me and not see me because I look like a lobster right now.
Oh, geez. Well, speaking of Florida, do you get a chance to check out any local indies or any of the WWE stuff that rolls through?
Honestly, I haven't yet. I've been down there for about a year and a half. Have not had a chance to get to Tampa for a show. The couple times they've been there, actually, it's worked out that I've ended up in Buffalo. So I've missed it when I haven't even been in town when WWE's come here. And I also, WrestleMania was like 90 minutes from my house this past year, of course, in Orlando. And I was not able to make that either. So that was really disappointing. But what do you
know? Oh, well. Yeah, I definitely know the feeling. When I went there, I don't know if you ever get a chance. They have a great place by Full Sail. It's called A Comic Shop. And inside of there is a speakeasy that watches all the pay-per-views, and they do all these fun little games. And I found it when I was searching for things to do in Orlando, not necessarily going to WrestleMania. So that was pretty fun and pretty sweet. What would you say, especially growing up in Western New York, what would you say was your first wrestling memory?
Definitely my father. You know, growing up as a kid, at that time, I mean, I'm in my mid-40s, so at that time, I wasn't on TV every week, on Monday nights, I should say, at least, anyway. And it's how me and my father bonded. You know, my father, I was 19 years old when my dad passed, and probably to this day, my favorite memories that I have are of me and my father. And at that time, again, WWF was, you know, was a regional territory, and they would come to Memorial Auditorium basically every month. So, you know, my dad, I didn't have that much in common with him per se, but he loved wrestling. And because of that, you know, it was something to do with my dad, and I fell in love with it too. So probably my best memory as a child was going to the Yard every month and watching the matches live. That was during the time when, like, Jimmy Snuka, Don Morocco, you know, Hulkamania in the mid-80s, that was born. Even before that, too, you know, Ray Crippler Stevens and some of those guys before that. So I grew up on wrestling, and it's just something that I connected with my father, and I've been a fan my whole life because of that.
And what would you say, did you guys share a favorite wrestler, or was it just anyone that came through, you were kind of overwhelmed and like, oh, this guy's awesome?
I don't know that I had a particular favorite wrestler. My dad was a Bruno Sammartino guy. I don't want to say he was a little bit before my time. You know, his career was kind of winding down as I was coming up. But that was my dad's favorite wrestler. I like Jimmy Snuka. He was my favorite when I was a kid. Just love watching him fly. I thought it was magic seeing him in the air. You know, just doing some of the things that seemed so far ahead of his time. So back when I was a kid, he was larger than life to me. And even though he was a heel, I don't know. I loved Roddy Piper. I just loved how good he was at talking. I kind of wanted to be like Roddy Piper when I was a kid because of that.
That's awesome. Now, before we go too deep into it, I do want to get your overall view of the Hall of Fame, and then we can kind of tear it apart between segments once we start getting some knowledge as well.
Well, if you're referring to this year, you're talking about this year specifically?
In general, like, how do you feel about the WWE Hall of Fame?
I'm very passionate about any Hall of Fame, whether it's WWE or anything. I really am. It's the highest honor you can get in whatever it is you do, whether you're a professional wrestler or a baseball player or a football player. Doesn't matter what you do. It's literally the highest professional, personal honor that you could get. So I'm very passionate about it. And although I know at the end of the day, pro wrestling's entertainment, it's still performance, and it's just something that I take very seriously. So I get a little offended when someone gets inducted that, you know, and people are, you know, we all have our different opinions, but well, I don't think they deserve to be in. So I'm just passionate about it. These guys work, and these and women too. You know, you work your whole life for it. We sit there and we watch it for a couple hours once a year and then dissect it. And in many cases, we complain and we moan about it. But these guys have been, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 decades of their life has been devoted to get to that night. It's just something that I take very serious. And maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I often get emotional. There's probably not a year that goes by when I watch a ceremony on TV that I don't end up crying. Even though I don't know the person, it's just how I get. I just take it very serious. I don't know. Something, the Hall of Fame is just something that I'm passionate about.
Okay. Well, with that as the backdrop, I do want to remind folks, if you do give us a call, area code 515-605-9345, hit 1 on your touch tone phone. And if you have rotary, God bless, I can't help you. And we'll be able to chat in. Before Pat and I go too deep, I do want to bring on our first caller and see where their head's at with the Hall of Fame. So, caller, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the deep dive.
This is Ryan from Crumbling, Maryland.
Ryan, first caller of the week. How are you, sir?
Good. My first question I have for you on the WWE Hall of Fame this year is, which wrestlers exactly from WWE were leaving early? Because I heard that was an issue this year.
Well, to answer that question, I think a good bit of them that were going to be in WrestleMania proper left midway through, I want to say it was the last speech. And that was really just because Goldberg kept going and they wanted to A, go out, B, eat, or C, go to sleep, or a combination of the three. Because if you look at the replay, they did a good job with the editing, but you could tell the section that was where the wrestlers had been the rest of the night was basically a ghost town. I was waiting for a tumbleweed to roll through.
Okay. My second question is sort of related to that. You think when this comes out on DVD, the Hall of Fame's be edited?
I think so. Pat, what do you think?
I didn't hear that second part of the question. I apologize. What did he ask?
If it'll be edited when it comes on
edited.
DVD.
Will it be? I don't know. Should it be? Probably. It's just, it's too long. The Hall of Fame ceremony, it's just too long. And it's very hard to have a balance here because, again, on one hand, you got to show respect to everyone who's being inducted, whether you think it's someone who should be or not. And again, I have opinions on that as well. But they've spent their life's work getting to this point. So you got to be respectful. You don't want to wrap them up. You don't want to speed them up. You want to give them the proper respect and time to say everything that they want to say. At the same token, it's just too long. It makes for too long of a night. So, I mean, I don't know. I have never watched an edited version of the Hall of Fame, so I can't answer that. But I would say that they probably should edit it out a little because there are little parts that just drag on. And I probably, as a viewer, probably doesn't bring any value to your experience of watching it. That's just my take on it anyway. Maybe I'm wrong.
My final question for you on the Hall of Fame is, how does the pay structure work for the Hall of Fame? Is someone like Goldberg paid more, and does all the Hall of Famers get like their hotels paid for and their meals, or are they like the WWE wrestlers where they have to pay for that themselves, you know?
I have no idea. Maybe Rich knows details. I don't know how. I didn't even know that they get paid. So, that's a question. When it comes to getting paid, I have no idea. That's not something I can answer. I'm not qualified to.
Now, for the pay, I can't give you numbers because that I don't have. But, yes, they get paid. And some of it is the allure of becoming a Hall of Famer. The pay is going to be you can now sell yourself as that on the indie scene. If you notice, most people do that. In fact, one thing I'm going to talk with Pat about, Ryan, after we're done with you and we go to our – after we get done with our first break is – the idea of so many of the inducted Hall of Famers not doing Access and instead doing WrestleCon instead because that was a better payday. And then in terms of the comp and fly-in stuff, they're treated like the VIP wrestlers more so than a day-to-day wrestler, so like a quote-unquote part-timer. So it is my understanding that they are flown in. They are given their hotel. This year I am understanding that they all had a Seoul hotel just to prevent one too many fans being able to like just, I just happened to be on the 65th floor. Oh, there's all the WWE guys. So everything was done out of one hotel. And then they made sure that, you know, obviously you didn't have too many other people in it. And two, that also controls whether or not, you know, in the case of a Ric Flair, but in the years gone by, you can kind of keep an eye on which people were skirting down to the bar after hours and kind of get someone to handle them.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Oh yeah, absolutely, always a pleasure. Keep calling, appreciate it. So that was Ryan in Cumberland. I always love Ryan calling because I enjoy hearing him when he calls on Wrestling Observer Live. So I have a point of pride that I can then hear his dulcet tones every week on the Deep Dive as well.
I gotta tell you something, Rich, before moving on. Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Yeah,
I didn't know that wrestlers get paid. I should have known that for being in the Hall of Fame. Now you got me interested in finding out about other sports. So that's something I'm going to put on my bucket list for this coming week. I need to find out how policies work in other venues with people getting in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, because if you look back, either I would say obviously working for the Torch, if you look in the Torch VIP, if you look in the Wrestling Observer, there's articles back when Bruno got inducted, especially since I'm here in Pittsburgh, where there was basically a financial make good for an issue that Vince and Vince had decades ago. So there are elements to that just to make sure you keep, you know, the talent happy. And then you're also kind of using them in their likeness. And that usually is when you sign a Legends contract, and the Legends contract also affords you being in the video game and being able to go around with the ring and stuff. So it's like wrestler social security, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, sure. And now that you say that, it does make good sense. And you are right. Having that WWE Hall of Famer attached to your moniker, you know, for appearances and stuff like that is it's profitable to the guy, so or woman. So it does make sense. You're right.
Yeah. And so that, I really enjoy that. And I think when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Hall of Fame, the process, Pat's picks, what he thought about it overall, and of course your calls. Make sure you give us a call, area code 515-605-9345. And when we come back from the Deep Dive, we'll keep diving into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Pat and Rich. I am Rich, and you are currently hearing us debate – well, not necessarily debate. That's a bad phrase. We're currently discussing the WWE Hall of Fame, the circa 2018 class, the Hall of Fame process, snubs, stars, duds, and all that stuff. So you can do that with us either by calling 515-605-9345 or emailing. If you don't feel comfortable calling us, you could always send me an email, and that's going to be pwtdive@gmail.com. Again, that's pwtdive@gmail.com. So, Pat, when last we were chatting, we were talking about the pay scale, the price structure, and all that fun stuff. I did want to talk about what your thoughts were on the class on the whole. And did you think there were people who were really unfairly added or any omissions you felt would have been a better choice in this class?
Let me start here. Here's my problem with the way I feel like the Hall of Fame is starting to become. I'm starting to feel like it's becoming like a reality singing show, like a show like an American Idol. And what I mean by that is it's becoming more and more typecast every year. There has to be... You know, like if you tune into a show like American Idol or The Voice, they have to have in that top 10, it's always, you know, you got the rocker, then you got the black R&B singer, and then you got the white country singer, and you got to have make sure you have two females and two males, and you know, the guy who has a very unique story. It's like it goes too far out of its way to have something from everything represented. And to me, how I feel personally, the Hall of Fame should just be the best of the best. One year, there might be five women in one year that get inducted, and I'd be great with that. You know what I mean? But It feels right now like, you know, you got to have the WCW star every year. You got to have a guy who left the company on bad terms that you never thought would be back, but now he's back and he goes in the Hall of Fame. You got to have a guy who, someone from an era, like say the 70s or 80s, every year that comes in. And now, increasingly, every year, you got to have a woman from the Attitude Era. It seems like they have to be in the Hall of Fame every year now. You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess my biggest issue with the Hall of Fame right now is I don't think necessarily the best four, five, or six candidates get inducted every year. I think it's a little something for everyone to try to please everyone. And I personally don't feel like that's how you should induct a Hall of Fame class every year. So that's my single biggest problem with it. Most of the people in this class, I don't want to say they're undeserving, but there are one or two who I personally wouldn't have put in. But again, that's my problem. I just feel like they're picking from too many different hats here and not necessarily putting the best four or five or how many people they put in each year. They're not putting the best of the best in. They're going, like I said, and you know, like now they're starting probably what you'll see because of the Dudley Boys, you'll probably see a run now of someone every single year from ECW going in. Going forward, because the Dudley Boys have gotten that ball rolling. It just feels to me like it's getting a little bit too typecast with how they're going about inducting this class.
Oh, yeah, and that's, I think you hit on a great point in going into the Hall of Fame. One of my colleagues, Bruce Mitchell, has been making that point to ring the bell about what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong at all, because there is that spot. It's like every year you're going to find who is the random black guy they're going to get. Who is the, like you said, the woman from the Attitude Era. I really don't want to repeat what you said because it was a great point. And it's also reflective in the announce team. You got to have the one great announcer that knows everything, the black dude who's going to get bullied in between by the other two guys, and Corey Graves, which is basically been the way it breaks down now. And then you can look at every single level of the roster and you see that. In fact, it was so blatant when Booker T was replaced by Coach. It's like, what? Like, why couldn't Booker T get replaced by some other person that's really good at announcing? It specifically had to be a black guy. How did that work, guys?
For the most part, not to cut you off there, Rich, and for the most part, I understand that. You know, if you're running a business or, you have a podcast or you have a blog, whatever it is that you're doing, you want to appeal to as many people as possible. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? So I get it in that respect. You want to have something for everybody. But again, for me, and I go back to what I said at the top here, I'm pretty passionate about the Hall of Fame. I think it's something where the best of the best should be in. And again, if it's four women in one year, so be it. Or if there's not a woman who goes in for 8 years, so be it. Same thing, like I said, whether it's a guy from the 80s, the black guy, the white, the guy who left and then came back. It's got to be that every single year now. And I'm just starting to get a little concerned that we're starting to get into that point where it's becoming a complete typecast. Just like I said, you see in a reality singing show every year. That's not the best 10 singers. It's the best two country singers and the best two R&B singers and all. And they got to make sure they have two of each. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm starting to get a little bit wary of when it comes to the Hall of Fame.
And who do you think was the biggest, the biggest failure in terms of inducting? Like, who was the person you're like, really? That person got in?
In all due respect to him, Hillbilly Jim. I don't think there's – how's Hillbilly Jim in the Hall of Fame when so many people who are far more deserving – and I could spend the rest of this show. We cannot talk about one other thing for the rest of this podcast, literally, and I could just sit there and name you 20 to 30 guys and tell you why they should be in the Hall of Fame before Hillbilly Jim, whether it's that era or any era for that matter. He's not a Hall of Famer. I don't have – facts in front of me. I didn't, for this episode here, I didn't sit there and write out a whole book of notes. I'm just going off memory. Again, I was a kid. I was a big wrestling fan during that time. I like Hillbilly Jim. I think he's good. I think he was pretty good. Maybe even a little more than pretty good. But he's not elite. He's not a Hall of Famer. The Hall of Fame are the elite, the best of the best. And is anyone going to tell me that Hillbilly Jim was the best of the best during his time? Was he even one of the best two, three, or four guys during his time? I just don't see a case that anyone could tell me where they say Hillbilly Jim deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't, again, no disrespect to him. That's just how I feel about it.
Oh, no. I'm looking at him, and I think Hillbilly Jim is the member of the rock and wrestling WWE cartoon that isn't dead, or a person that is persona non grata at the moment.
Right. I mean,
like that's his claim to fame. Like, you're the least problematic 80s wrestler we can induct that can tangentially.
Good guy. Fans love him. A lot of fun. Definitely a little bit different during that time. Hulk Hogan's best friend. I get it. He was good. Again, pretty good. More than pretty good, maybe. But Hall of Fame? What is the Hall of Fame if it's not the best of the best? Maybe my biggest problem with this discussion is, or my train of thought is that the Hall of Fame for some people is not what I think it is, because I think it's the elite, the best wrestlers. I'm getting in football mode here. I was going to say players, the best wrestlers who've ever done it, or the best managers who've ever done it. Those are the guys who should be in the Hall of Fame, not somebody just because they're from an era and they were popular and he fills a stereotype, like you just said about the rock and wrestling thing. That to me is not a reason to put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Now, what about the Dudley Boys? How do you feel about it? Do you feel like the WWE Hall of Fame should be the totality of your wrestling career or only your time in the WWE? Because at this point, we could say, since they own WCW and ECW, it's kind of weird to say, like, oh, well, they were in another company. It's like, well, they were another company at the time, but now it's like one company.
I think that they're gravitating more towards the totality of your career. And if that's the case, they're surefire Hall of Famers. I would consider them borderline Hall of Famers if it was only WWE. But here's another point about the Hall of Fame that I feel anyway. And this will also tie into Mark Henry when we speak of him. Are the Dudley Boys Hall of Famers? Absolutely. Is Mark Henry a Hall of Famer? And we'll talk about him. Yes, he is. But these guys, I didn't even know, especially in Mark Henry's case, I didn't even know he was officially retired. And he's going into the Hall of Fame already. they absolutely belong in the Hall of Fame. But case like the Dudley Boys, there's tag teams, the British Bulldogs. Why are they not in the Hall of Fame? They've been gone for a long time. Their contributions were unrivaled during that time. The Hart Foundation. These are tag teams to me that should be in the Hall of Fame before the Dudley Boys. And that's not to say, again, that the Dudley Boys shouldn't be in. But they just stopped wrestling in, what, the last 6 months?
Yeah.
Why are they going in the Hall of Fame already? Again, and I know this is entertainment, and this is where my problem is. I keep going back to, you know, quote-unquote real sports, football and stuff. You know, you retire from football, baseball, you wait 5 years, then you go in the Hall of Fame. Why are these guys retiring or not even officially retiring in some cases, and they're going into the Hall of Fame? I guess that's where my biggest beef is. The Dudley Boys, I think, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I just don't think they deserve to be in the 2018 class of the Hall of Fame when there's other more deserving tag teams that should be going in before them.
And what about Ivory? How do you feel about her?
Ivory, to me, she's on the bubble. I mean, she did have a real good career. She's been around for a long time, you know, going all the way back to the days of Glow in the 80s. She did win the WWE Women's title or Divas title 3 times. So she's a 3-time champion, and she's had a very long career. She kind of reinvented herself a couple times. So she's on the bubble. But again, Hall of Fame, it's a good discussion. It's definitely a good discussion, and you can make solid points either way. But this is my fear. Again, Ivory, Jackie, who's next? Is it going to be Molly Holly next year and then Michelle McCool?
Probably.
You know, is that a trend now? Or are we going into something where every single year we're going to see someone from that era or, you know, slightly after that go into the Hall of Fame? I think she's a Hall of Famer? Maybe. But there are, if you got to have that female to, you know, to have that diversity every year, I certainly think that there's other females that should go in before her, starting with China. And I mean, come on. Again, that's a no-brainer. China should be in the Hall of Fame. So I think maybe she should get in the Hall of Fame at some point, but I just think there's more deserving people than her. I'm not mad about her being in there.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good because Ivory always has a special place in my heart. And as some of my good friends noted that, as a member of the Torch, I didn't represent us at the Hall of Fame to prevent, you know, constantly bugging her with questions such as, "Hey, Ivory, I think you're a great wrestler. Also, when I was in high school, I thought you were probably the best woman ever. So if I pass out at some point, don't judge me." And she would have judged me. So
to her credit, too, by the way, I loved Right the Censor. I thought she was awesome. I thought she was awesome in that role. She was so good at that. I thought she was great. So, yeah, I'm not mad about her being in the Hall. Again, it's just that, are they going to put a woman every year in now? That's where I'm starting to feel like. Beth Phoenix, was it Beth Phoenix, I think, was last year? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like every year, are they going to put a woman in every year? And I'm not being a bigot out there. Put 5 of them in at one time if they're deserving. But just don't do it just to do it every year. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fair. And when we come back, I want to talk. We have some other people on hold. Obviously, we're going to still talk to Pat, and we want to talk with you guys. So definitely make sure you hit one on that touchstone. Area code 515-605-9345. And we'll go through more of the Hall of Fame here on the Deep Dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday Edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about, like, the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them, like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Patrick and Rich. I'm Rich, he's Patrick, talking about the Hall of Fame. We just ended talking with Ivory and alluding a little bit to Mark Henry and his retirement without a retirement announcement, so to speak, and the Dudley Boys as well. Obviously, join in with us, area code 515-605-9345. We do have another caller, Pat, so I'm going to kick them in. 862, state your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the Deep Dive.
It's Kylan, Rich. How are you and Pat?
Good. How you doing?
Very well.
So what do you have for us on this fine Saturday, Kylan?
Well, first of all, Rich, let me say, I can understand your intimidation of talking to Bubba Ray Dudley, because before the two times I have gotten to speak to him, I would have had the same reaction you did and probably not wanted to, but I can assure you that in both occasions that I've gotten to speak to him, he's been nothing like his character whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the Dudley Boys, I've always found entertaining because they're the only Hall of Famers I can remember three times in which they legit almost started a riot in the arena.
The subject of the Dudley Boys. Two things I found interesting were Devon saying that his boys are continuing to train at, I assume, the Dudley's 3D Academy. And the second thing being that Devon made sure to slip in, you know, you've been telling me to get the tables for the last 20-odd years, Bubba, but now I get to tell you what to do because, remember, I'm office now.
Yeah, I did enjoy that.
Listen, real quick, not to cut you guys off, I want to make something clear for what I said a few minutes ago. The Dudley Boys are absolutely Hall of Famers. There's no denying that. My only point that I was trying to make is let them wait a little while and let some of these guys who haven't gotten in yet that I feel should as tag teams get in, and then let them in. They just retired. And by the way, Devon's speech was awesome. Probably he shocked me because he doesn't usually get to talk all that much. I thought he was funny as hell. He might have been the MVP of the Hall of Fame ceremony last week.
I think I may have to agree with you on that, Patrick.
Thanks. Yeah, he was good. He was funny. And his kids stood up. I didn't even know he had kids like that. they look like they're ready to get in the ring real soon. That's going to be something to watch over the next handful of years for sure. But yeah, I thought he was great. I thought his speech was awesome. I liked the banner that him and Bubba had. I thought it was great.
Devon's two oldest boys, Terrence and Terrell, had wrestled with him in TLA. I don't know if you're aware of. Now, his younger two, I didn't even know he had.
Yeah, me neither.
So what do you have for us this week as far as questions, good sir?
Question number one on the Mark Henry speech. Do you think that Mark Henry's emotional plea to Martha Hart will either allow her to realize that Owen was a valuable and respected member of the WWE family and allow her to say he should go into the Hall of Fame sooner rather than later? Or did Mark Henry's plea further drive a wedge in Martha Hart's eyes between Owen and the wrestling business and WWE for more years to come?
What do you think, Pat?
Well, let me say this. I think his plea proved that they don't know what he's going to say before he says it word for word. I was taken back by that. I was moved by that too, by the way. Mark Henry's speech was amazing, and I knew it was going to be. I told my wife, she didn't watch the whole thing with me, but she saw a good chunk of it. I said, Mark Henry's going to be awesome because he's such an emotional guy and he wears his heart on his sleeve. I thought his plea about Owen Hart was great. It was emotional. I got teary-eyed. And I'll tell you what, I hope it works. I hope they listen because there's no doubt in my mind that Owen Hart needs to be in the Hall of Fame. It angers me every year. And that's kind of why I had the response earlier about someone like Hillbilly Jim. I don't dislike Hillbilly Jim, but how's he in the Hall of Fame and Owen Hart's not? I just don't get it. No one can tell me otherwise that Owen Hart shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He's literally one of the best wrestling characters and performers of the last 25, 30 years. Between his in-ring ability and his charisma on the mic and just the way he was as a character, I think it's a travesty. It's probably one of the two biggest travesties that I can think of guys from the WWE who are not in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know if that's going to help or hurt his cause, but I hope it helps because he needs to be in. And you know what? He should have been in yesterday or 10 years or 5 years ago. He needs to be in next year. I really hope that whoever is making those final decisions, that they do something about it. Because it's a travesty that Owen Hart is not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, my understanding, Patrick, is that the company would like Owen Hart to be in, but Owen's widow, Martha Hart, despises the wrestling business, period, and has tried to refuse DVDs with his name on them or the different things WWE has tried to do to even provide her and Owen's children with sources of income because she hates the business as much as she does.
And it's true, and it's sad, but whatever it takes, whatever they got to do, they need to do it. They need to make it right. The Hall of Fame's his home. It's where he belongs. So whatever it takes and whatever they need to do, they need to reach out, and they need to find a way to make it right. And hopefully, to be fair, it's got to go both ways. So hopefully the day comes where the eyes are open on the other end, too, and they can make it right, because it's just, it was his life wrestling, and it's a place that he belongs, and it's somewhere that he needs to be.
My second question for you guys, and I mean no disrespect to either man, I think both of them are quality human beings, at least according to everything I know about them, but whose speech do you feel was worse than the other? Hill Billy Jim's speech from this year, or Mr. T's infamous, I love my mama, I grew up in the project with my mama, and my mama cooked breakfast for me and my brothers every day.
Of the two, I would definitely take Mr. T's speech 10 times out of 10. Because at least it brought some laughter to me. It brought some value. I don't know what Hillbilly Jim was talking about. I'm going to be honest with you there. He lost me. Again, I know I'm sounding like the anti-Hillbilly Jim guy here tonight, but it is what it is, man. Nothing about him being in the Hall of Fame nor his speech did anything to move the needle for me personally. So I would pick Mr. T if you made me pick one of the two.
I would, too. And my final question is, who do you think will fill the "I never thought we would ever see this person back in WWE in the Hall of Fame next year, since I believe we've gotten to see all of the people that we really assume Vince hates, with Bret Hart, Bruno, and Jeff Jarrett now all being members of different Hall of Fame classes at this point?
That's a great question. If you would have asked this 12 and a half months ago, I probably would have said Jim Cornette. But now that he presented before, it probably wouldn't be quite a bit of a shock. But off the top of my head, without thinking about it too much, that's probably who I'd go with at this point.
And for me, I think the most problematic person would be, not necessarily problematic person, but they did pull at Martha Hart's heartstrings, and they did wind up getting Owen.
Yeah. I agree with that. Maybe 5 years from now we'll be talking, saying this about CM Punk. Who knows?
Oh, that's another good one. I had completely blocked that one out of my thought process, because I didn't think we were going to see that for another maybe 7 to 15 years, but that's possible.
Hey, never say never. I mean, we've done it before and been wrong with WWE. Goldberg, the Ultimate Warrior. So, yeah, it doesn't look good for him ever coming back. I certainly wouldn't bet on it. But, again, never say never. This is wrestling we're talking about here.
That's very true. Rich, as a reminder, I owe our Deep Dive audience here a show, so we need to get that squared away as quick as possible, so our audience doesn't feel as though I robbed them.
Absolutely. I will probably get with you offline, because looking at the calendar right now, May is pretty open, and all of June and July are open, with the exception of May 26th. I believe I'll be doing my tribute to the greatness that is Minoru Suzuki, and I'm trying to get Mike Sempervivi to do that with me. So I might move that show depending on when Mike's free. But yeah, Kylan, so I will definitely get back to you with that. And as always, thank you for calling in.
You're very welcome, and I look forward to hearing from you throughout the week as well as next week. And Patrick, it was a pleasure.
Pleasure talking to you too. And I'll tell you what, great question bringing up Martha, because I sat there and I put the WWE on blast exclusively for Owen Hart not being in the Hall of Fame. And you are 100% right. It's a two-way street at the end of the day, man. So it's got to go both ways. So hopefully those fences can, you know, maybe mend a little bit over the next year. And maybe a year from now, this can be a different conversation. Great point and great question.
Excellent. And so that was Kylan. And that was definitely a way to cut to the heart of the matter. And speaking of close cuts, I want to tell you guys a little bit about the awesomeness of Harry's. And why do I love it? As I've mentioned before, going into WrestleMania week, I didn't want to be the neckbeard running around getting interviews with wrestlers and fans alike. I like that when I go out with my wife to her barrister's ball and God knows what other silly things she wants to do, I can look trim and prim and proper without having to pay an arm and a leg to do it. Because, of course, Harry's stand behind the quality of their blades. But they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision. So that's why this trial offer is so awesome. You can definitely claim yours by going to harrys.com/PWTorch. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors. They knew a shave came down to great blades with sharp, durable steel that lasts, and that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you, they cut out the middleman and they give you a leading brand just for $2 a blade compared to four or more. Get a $13 trial value that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, five-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, which you know I love saying, and of course, a travel blade color. Listeners of my show, you guys, you can redeem this trial set at harrys.com/PWTorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/PWTorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Again, that's harrys.com/PWTorch. So, Martha Hart, I'm conflicted with Martha, to be honest, Pat, mainly because I understand the actions that led to her husband's death and his uncomfortableness, et cetera, et cetera. And so I get why she would be out on the Hall of Fame, but now that Oge and some of the kids are older, it's also a situation where if they go into wrestling, you can't really stop them. So how do you balance the two?
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I don't have much more to add than that. You're right, 100%. Time heals. I hope it does anyway. It's one of the biggest tragedies we've ever seen in wrestling. Just period. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, let him go in the Hall of Fame. He deserves it. He'll be immortalized forever. You know, when you're long gone, well, we're long gone. If this machine's still going 50, 100 years from now, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Don't take that away. So find a way to make it work. Easier said than done, of course, but come on, got to find a way.
Absolutely. And when we come back, I have a question for Pat. That's going to be pretty cool as far as a physical Hall of Fame. Should the WWE have one? Because that might be a great way to extend 100 years, 200 years after we're gone. And you guys can hear that when we're back on the PW Torch livecast.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Patrick and Rich. We are talking WWE Hall of Fame. And when we left, I wanted to posit the question to Patrick, should there be a physical Hall of Fame to add into the event itself? And what do you think? Where should it be? Obviously, right now in Iowa, we have the Stragos Hall of Fame. And we also have in New York another Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, but they're not affiliated with the WWE. So would you say, Should it be in Stanford? Should it be in Orlando? Where would you say, if there should be one, an ideal Hall of Fame should go?
Well, Rich, I don't think I've ever been accused of being an astute businessman. So I definitely think there should be one. That's for sure. I mean, it doesn't take a business person to know that. I would probably say Orlando because, I mean, just there's just already so much WWE stuff down here, you know, with NXT and everything. And, you know, it's just the attraction capital of the country, I think, anyway. So Orlando sounds like a great place. Stanford, of course, the WWE headquarters, that, I mean, I don't know. Are people going to go there for anything else? You go to Orlando, you go for so many things. You add it to your list. If I had to say one, I'd probably say Orlando. Again, I've never been accused of being a great businessman. I sure as hell know I'd go see it, though. So, yeah, I like Orlando. Let's roll with Orlando. Why not?
Excellent. I think I'm with you. I think it'd add to it, especially if you could build it somewhere near Full Sail, or even within the confines of Full Sail near where they film NXT. That would be a heck of a way to kind of keep marrying yourself to the university and give them something that's another attraction that can help the coffers filled as far as money on their end.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Orlando's all in when it comes to WWE. They, in fact, I just read in a local paper down here today, I think it was maybe today, that they're trying to get WrestleMania back here again. I think they had it twice, you know, recently, what was it, 2008 or 9 or something like that. And then last year, and now they're trying to get it back in like 2023, I read. I think that's what I read in the article. So, yeah, I think this is a great place. Not to mention, who doesn't want to get away to Florida in the winter? You know what I mean? You want to come down there? What a great time to go see the WWE Hall of Fame, a physical Hall of Fame. Come down in the winter when you're up north and the weather's crappy and come down there and get warm for a couple of days and see a lot of cool stuff.
Excellent. Now, before we go, we got one last caller, and then we'll kind of close up shop here for the deep dive, unless I see any of the other fine folks raise their hand and join the party. So, 111, if you heard the tone, your time to shine is here. Welcome to the deep dive. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Craig from Toledo.
Craig, hey, Craig. What's going on, my friend?
Not a lot. How about you guys?
Not much, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I tuned in late because this 6:30 thing with the East Coast cast starts at 6:30, and I thought you guys started at 6:30, so I tuned in late. So I got another thing to catch up on this week. I got to catch up on the first half hour of the show.
Well, Craig, you got to realize anything we do on the East Coast cast, think of the more professional version, and that's what I do here on the Deep Dive.
Nice. I like it. Patrick, I've only heard you for 21 minutes now. So, but it's been a nice little trip. I watched the Hall of Fame this morning because I'm still catching up on all I missed. We were at Lucy's during the first part of the Hall of Fame, and I missed everything. And then everybody was talking about everything that happened and stuff. But I even watched the red carpet this morning. But
I didn't actually see that.
Oh, I love the red carpet because you get to see all these people, like all the wrestlers, trying to either stay kayfabe or not, or you know, you get to see which parts of themselves they want to reveal and whatnot. And it's
right.
It's a lot of fun. I love like Renee Young and Charlie and Byron. I love Byron Saxton, and it's just fun. It's just like lighthearted stuff. So, but I kind of fantasy booked the Owen Hart induction while I was watching the, what Jeff Jarrett and Mark Henry did. I didn't intend on being this emotional about it, but I love Owen Hart. And I want Owen Hart to be the main event inductee of whatever class he gets in. And I want Vince McMahon to induct him and take accountability, and not just for Owen, but as the top of the company for all the mistakes that were made under him in wrestler deaths and stuff like that, I know it's a far-fetched, you know, thing, but it might, the older he gets, he might actually grow some sort of a conscience and take accountability as the top of the company to do that. And then Bret Hart accepts the thing. And I was wondering, because we all begrudgingly watch the WWE because of his torrid past and all, but do you think it's possible they might try to right some of the wrongs via the Hall of Fame, the more easily information becomes available to masses, like, you know, we can all see what happened in the past?
I think that's a great question and a great thought. I don't see that happening. I don't see Vince ever doing that. I mean, who am I to say for sure? I don't know Vince McMahon. Going on based what I've seen and what I do know about, you know, from watching and reading and stuff like that, it's just not something I could ever see. I think realistically, the best we could hope for is a situation where he does get presented someday. And I also agree with you 100% that when the year comes where Owen Hart does go in the Hall of Fame, he needs to be the headliner. He needs to be the headliner. And I don't think Vince would ever do it. But if we could get Bret, if you can get Bret Hart to come out and do his induction, or not induct him, someone else would induct him. I just don't think it's going to be Vince. But obviously, Bret would be the one to come out and talk on his behalf. I think that can mend a lot of fences publicly. That might serve as what you're hoping for as best as realistically as you're going to get. I mean, again, we're talking about a business where you never say never. But I just don't see Vince McMahon coming out and doing that. I hope I'm wrong, though, because I'll tell you what, it's a great idea. I love your train of thought right there. I don't know. What do you think, Rich?
I like it. I think Bret would be a great person to accept it, but I will be quite, you know, I think that's going to be a case of you have to be okay with how long and how far Bret takes his speech.
Sure.
Because it's going to be a lot for him, and I do not want him, you know, I don't want it to be a situation where he's played off. I don't want it to be a situation where it's anything but him kind of laying to rest his own brother, however he chooses to do it. And I will not judge it one way or the other.
Me neither. And I don't think it goes without saying that would probably end up being the most emotional speech or part of a speech that we've ever seen in the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know, man. I just don't see Vince McMahon doing that. I hope I'm wrong because I do like the thought, but I don't know.
What else you got, Craig? I must say we have a few minutes left. I promise Patrick he has a family function or a family engagement he wants to get to. Since we're talking about family, if I can be Vin Diesel from Fast and the Furious, familia. I have one more caller, so.
Oh,
I love you.
Listen, we go a few more. We're good.
I would be remiss if I didn't say goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
I like your question too, man. It's a good point. Something to think about for sure.
Craig's on my case because I think in the God knows how many episodes, like 30 episodes I've done the deep dive, 28 of them I've said I would be remiss if I don't X. And so he didn't think that was actually a phrase until I want to say it was it Devon or was it Mark Henry that said it during his speech? And he's like, ha ha, other humans use this word. And so that's great. But before we go, I have one more. Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, before we get off the air, I do have one Hall of Fame take that I absolutely have to get off my chest. But we'll do that at the end.
Go for it. Okay, we'll do it at the end. So let me just get the last caller. And 623, state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling the deep dive.
Hey, Rich. Hey, Pat. This is Brian calling from Phoenix.
Hey, Brian.
This is our Brian Austin VIP call-in. He is now a, 26-year or 27-year VIP?
27-year, Rich. Thanks a lot.
27 wow. years strong as a PW wow. Tour subscriber.
Hey, I'll make it quick because I know I did just pop on the end. Been loving the conversation. Been a little bit in and out of it, though. The one problem I asked you and Pat, Rich, is that actually editor-publisher Wade Keller. This question came up to him a couple months ago. But my question is, let me back up really quick first and say that I have no problem with this WWE Hall of Fame. You know, if you think way back to when it first started off with, you know, hey, Vince wanted to just honor Andre, and so he created it and Andre was the first inductee. And after a couple years, and he started having, you know, classes with it. And we talked about that on the D-Dot before. Again, I have no problem with him doing it and him however they want to have people come in. That's their thing. It's no big deal. Is it a money grab? Who knows? You know, I mean, it does help out with WrestleMania weekend. I have no problem with that. So really my question, though, is about an inductee, more so a pair of inductees or a tag team. Could yourselves, Pat and Rich, ever see the Steiner brothers get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? And I do have a reason why I think they would or would not, but I want to hear what you two say really quick.
Okay, go for it, Pat.
Ah, man, that's a tough one. That's another one. When you know how we talked about Ivory earlier, it's kind of a bubble one for me. I would lean yes. I mean, good long career, right? Is it mainly based on WCW? Because then, yeah, I was underwhelmed with Scott Steiner in WWF. I'll tell you that much, but. Yeah, they're one of the best tag teams of the era. Again, what's the criteria? What's the criteria here that we're talking? Because I mentioned other tag teams too. There's a lot of good tag teams that aren't in the Hall of Fame. And that's why I felt with the Dudley Boys, like I said earlier in the show, hey, I want the Dudley Boys to be in the Hall of Fame, but you know what? Maybe step aside. You guys just got done wrestling. And I didn't even think of the Steiner brothers, so I'm really glad you brought that up. I was thinking of you know, the Hart Foundation, the British Bulldogs, and teams like that. Maybe even the Moondogs going a little farther back than that. But Steiner Brothers are another one. I'd like to hear someone give me a case why they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're a great team. The biggest thing was they would be one of those people where they've kind of been known to be difficult to work with. And so they would be the prodigal sons coming back.
And Rich, that's what I think, and I watched when they first came online, I missed most of Rich stuff. I didn't get UWF here in Detroit. Or when I say here in Detroit, when I grew up in Detroit, I didn't see UWF. Anyway, but I do remember when Scott Steiner first came up. I remember him being on the Independence as well. The reason why I think it's going to be a timing issue with them too is that if Vince is still around, I can see, you know, Vince is the all forgiver. As we know right now. So I could see Vince saying, yeah, let's bring him in. Let's induct both of them. I could see Hunter, though, once Vince, you know, everybody has to die. So once Vince dies, and if Hunter's in charge, I don't necessarily see Hunter having them induct into the Hall of Fame just because some of the personal things that more so Scott has said. So to me, it's going to be a timing thing. Do they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Any Hall of Fame? I'd say the way that they did tweak wrestling a little bit during their time, I would say they deserve to be in any Hall of Fame. Again, to me, for WWE, just be a matter of timing.
Good point. I agree.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I think the hard part's going to be for them with Scott recently appearing on Impact. They're going to probably want him either fully retired, kind of what Patrick was talking about earlier, or in a position where he isn't active on a televised competitor.
I would agree too. Hey, thanks a lot again. I'm sorry about buzzing in late. Hopefully you both have a real good weekend, and thanks a lot.
No problem. Always a pleasure. Brian, you know you're welcome. You got the VIB bat line, so you're always welcome. But we have, as they say in the song, to the end of the road. So, Patrick, before we leave, I do want you to get that final takeout, and then afterwards lay on them some 411 on where they can find you and where they can find your show.
All right. Well, first of all, this wasn't the take I was talking about, but it just popped in my head. Roman Reigns had a really crappy weekend, and it wasn't just Sunday. Bill kind of verbally ran him over a couple times during his Hall of Fame speech. Not sure if you heard that. With the spirit, I don't know. He got made fun of a couple of times. Wasn't a good weekend for him, but that's not what I'm talking about. It, to me, is a joke that Kid Rock got in the Hall of Fame. I'm offended, not just for him. I'm going to look at guys like Jim Carrey, Bob Uecker, Snoop Dogg and them. How is Cyndi Lauper not in the Hall of Fame before any of them? It is ridiculous. I would go as far to say Cyndi Lauper deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as much as some of these wrestlers that are getting in there. I know it's a celebrity win at the Hall of Fame or whatever, but she's literally the woman who was most responsible during the early to mid-80s, that critical part where that rock and wrestling connection was born. Brought the WWF mainstream attention during that time that not even guys like not even Hogan and not even Andre did. She brought more new fans to WWF during that time than anyone else did. Her music videos and the feud with Captain Lou Albano, it led to so many things. So that's why I want to wrap up. I don't know. Maybe there's something personal between Vince and her, and if there is, it would be news to me. I don't know about it. All I know is every year I look at the inductees of the Hall of Fame. I don't see Cyndi Lauper. I see guys like Drew Carey and now Kid Rock, and I just think it's an absolute joke.
Man, that you brought the fire. That was outstanding. I can't fight you on it. I think she was integral to it, and I think, you know, when you think about Captain Lou, when you think about Girls Just Want to Have Fun, when you think about watching her run down the aisle. Now, I think one of the weird things would be that the side effect of it is they'd probably try to induct Randy Rick, but Wendy Richter hates them, so probably not. So that actually wouldn't be a problem. Yeah, I think that would be a great idea, and I agree with you completely.
Performance-wise, it's a lock. She was rock and wrestling, and she's the one who brought the fans. She brought them more than like I said, than even Hulk Hogan did. She brought the MTV people to wrestling. It's because of her as much as it is anyone else that wrestling got to where it did during the mid-80s. As much as anyone.
No, you're right. You're dead on, man.
So, yeah. And put Bam Bam Bigelow in, and let's take the Billy Jim out. Let's make that trade, and then I'm a happy guy.
Well, funny you mentioned Bam Bam. With them being in New York next year, that would be the perfect opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
All right, my friend. Well, this was great. You are welcome to come back anytime you like. But before you go, because I, like I said, I want to get you to be able to see your family member, lay on the folks where they can find you, where they can find more analytics, and anything else you want them to know about your show, yourself, and what you're doing.
Well, again, my show is called the Moranalytics Podcast. It's out every Monday and every Thursday, twice weekly. You can find it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called. Now, it's all over the place. Go to Moranalytics.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at Pat Moran Tweets. Again, it's mainly sports. It's an interview-based show, mainly sports, a little bit of pop culture stuff. And I'm starting to get more into wrestling talk because it's just something that I'm passionate about, and I have fun talking wrestling. I just had you on my show this past Monday recapping WrestleMania 34. So I plan on having more and more wrestling stuff on the show. So hopefully your fans will come and check it out. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it too. And folks, that was Pat. I enjoyed it a lot. As always, challenge you, dive into something new, give yourself an opportunity to go beyond where you think you can go. Next week, we are going to have a fun little top wrestlers list. Dominic D'Angelo of The Torch is going to go over his top 50 wrestlers of the 90s. So this ties in perfectly to what Pat was talking about as far as the Hall of Famers. And we look forward to you guys bringing your list. I would say don't bring a top 50 because I don't want to be here till 9 o'clock at night. But if you have your top 10 wrestlers of the 90s, I think that'd be a good list. So from now until then, I wish you a good night, pleasant tomorrow. And here's some information. If you enjoyed hearing what you did today, you can hear it without ads. You can also get access to over 30 years of wrestling knowledge. And that's by joining up with the PW Torch VIP side of the house. Now we have some deals going on. If you go to our website, you'll find out, but I do want to give you this information right now. Remember guys, I'll see you next week. Keep diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. Live!